It ain't no drag. It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, 1969 Throwback Thursday. This is Otis Redding. It is Jason Bateman's birthday. The actor I grew up with. Silver Spoons, It's Your Move, Hogan's Family. Then you got Arrested Development. You got Ozark now on Netflix. All the movies that he's been in. I realized how much I was like a year ago. I can't believe The Outsiders on HBO was on and Bateman was in that. And I went, man, I think this is my favorite actor. I feel like I like everything he's in. So we decided that this Throwback Thursday will celebrate a birthday. We don't normally do it. We're going to be hooking up with Lee Ellis of The Athletic. He co-hosts the No Dunks podcast to talk about this James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets. Good for Houston. You got rid of a disgruntled guy that was embarrassing you every press conference by saying how unhappy he was and just implying that your team stunk. Well, basically coming out and saying it. And Brooklyn gets a star and Houston gets draft picks and Victor Oladipo. Lee Ellis joins us from The Athletic. They'll break it all down. How are you, my friend?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Good. All right. So as far as this trade goes, it didn't seem like it seemed like it was going to happen eventually. Was it surprising how quickly it was put together and what the deal ended up being?
Yeah, it was a little bit because certainly yesterday afternoon when the news first started trickling through, it looked like James Harden was on his way to Philadelphia. That appeared to be the deal. And the Sixers had apparently agreed to trade Ben Simmons, which was the biggest domino to fall. Then it was just those sort of periphery surrounding pieces and potentially draft picks. And so when the Brooklyn Nets came and swooped in and decided to go all in, that sort of rocked the basketball world a little bit. We haven't seen a sort of big blockbuster trade mid-season like that for a while. So everyone got pretty excited because we had heard that the Nets were interested coming into the season, but I think they'd gotten off to a good enough start there where they probably thought, maybe we don't need another ball-dominant player on this team. But I think recently their form had flipped a little bit, and you saw a bit of an unusual situation there with Kyrie Irving. We're not sort of sure exactly what's going on there. And so I wonder if that was also part of the reason why the Nets decided to grab James Harden while he's available. I mean, any time a star of that talent is available, teams really do need to go out there and try to make that deal happen. And so the Nets got it done. So, it was a huge deal. And then we had the Cavs involved. We had the Indiana Pacers involved. So it sort of grew legs as the afternoon went on. But, a huge shift in the NBA landscape for sure in the Eastern Conference.
Let's expand a little bit on Brooklyn. It's easy to say, well, they got James Harden, right? What more do you want? But you're right. Kyrie's situation is interesting. It's a development there. Steve Nash now has to add another shooter to this offense. What offense has he been putting together so far in this short season? And how would Harden fit in?
Well, I mean, look, we know James Harden can go out and get 30, 35 points any time he wants. He's done that for the last 7 or 8 years there in Houston. So scoring is not a problem. He's got the three-pointer. He can get to the free throw line. We know that's his game. And he's also played with Kevin Durant in the past. I mean, it was a long, long time ago. But he's going to a situation for the first time, James Harden, since he left Oklahoma City, where he's not the best player on the team. I mean, that is Kevin Durant. So in that sense, James Harden is going to have to adjust the way that he plays. Now, he'll still get plenty of opportunity to go out there and score because that's what he does best. But I think when you look at that starting lineup, let's just assume Kyrie is in there to start with. I think Kyrie's going to be the point guard. You know, Kevin Durant is the focal point of your offense. So James Harden's going to have to sort of slot in there somewhere as almost like maybe like a spot-up shooter to get started. But then as the game unfolds, as I said earlier, he'll get his opportunity to run the offense and to have his times to go one-on-one against the defense, because you know that's what he loves. But at the start, and this is where it's going to be a little bit tricky, I think, here for Steve Nash and for James Harden, is that they have to adjust to, you know, a system that's already there in place. And that's going to be difficult because James Harden, as great a player as he has been, he brings with him a little reputation now that he hasn't been able to click with superstar talent while he was down there in Houston. You know, things with Dwight Howard didn't work out. Things with Chris Paul didn't work out. And then even his old friend Russell Westbrook, they didn't work out last year in Houston in the end. So James Harden, you know, as talented as he is, he's coming in a little bit out of shape and he's bringing a little bit of baggage with him as well. But I think when you look at the potential of what he brings to that team, that's why the Nets made this move. It's because if you have Kyrie and Kevin and James Harden and they're all in sync together on offense, then they're almost unguardable because, who are you going to double? Who are you going to leave open so that one of those guys gets a shot? So it's a good problem for Steve Nash to have. but I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some sort of teething problems here for the first, you know, potentially month, 6 weeks, or even longer.
All right, so Lee, this is, again, involving two other teams, but in the end, if you wanted to boil it down, it's Harden for a lot of picks that Houston gets, a lot of pick swaps. I don't want to ask if it's too much. James Harden requires that kind of haul, but for Brooklyn, you got to be a little nervous about the future if this doesn't work out.
Yeah, you do, but I think you have to sort of live in the moment a little bit more when you are Brooklyn, because you've got Kevin Durant, who's 32, and he's shown that he's certainly overcome his Achilles injury that he suffered there with the Warriors against the Raptors in the finals. So they're in win-now mode. And when you're in win-now mode, I think it's okay to mortgage the future a little bit, because you want the championship now. You want to convince Kevin Durant to finish his career in Brooklyn. And I think you can help doing that by convincing him by saying, listen, we're going to get all the star talent we can, even guys on huge contracts. They'll probably dip into the luxury tax. They have to afford it all. But they're prepared to do that to win that championship, because Kevin Durant doesn't care about what the Nets are doing in 5 years' time. He cares about what they're doing this season and next season while he's still in his prime years. And I think, again, he's still the best player on that team. I don't think there's any question about that. So if you're the Nets, you're doing everything you can to convince Kevin Durant that they're in it for the short term as far as winning those championships while they can now. And if it does cost them in the long run with those draft picks, that's the price they're willing to pay. Because if you look at the situation in Houston, remember, when Daryl Morey left, they were absolutely no draft picks that they had on their team. And Rafael Stone has done an incredible job to replenish those draft picks in what, barely 3 months, I think he's been there. So I think that's the sign that you can always get other draft picks. There's always other ways to accumulate draft picks. And I think that's the sort of thinking behind Brooklyn right now. It's like, let's not worry about, you know, picks 4 or 5 years away. We can maybe get those back. Certainly, the people were making the reference yesterday on Twitter and online how the Nets did this a few years ago when they got Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. But that was a completely different set of circumstances at the time, because at the time it was Mikhail Prokhorov was the owner, and he basically told Billy King, get these guys, I don't care what it costs. And then it ended up costing them 3 unprotected first-round picks, which Danny Ainge cashed in very, very nicely. But still, I think that's what you have to do if you're a team. I think when you look at what the Raptors did with Kawhi Leonard a few years ago with Masai Ujiri, now they didn't mortgage their future. They gave up a first-round pick and they traded away Poeltl and DeMar DeRozan, who was a franchise cornerstone. But people said, well, you're giving up a lot for a guy who might only be there for one season. And that turned out to be true. But the Raptors won the championship in that one season. So I think it was worth it. And I think that's where Brooklyn are right now. They're like, even if we only win one championship, it's worth it, because that's ultimately the goal of every team.
Lee, what were your thoughts on how James Harden actually forced this situation by showing up late for training camp, showing up overweight and out of shape, comments that he made to the media about the organization? It doesn't have good optics, but in the end, he got what he wanted. He got out of town and he got on a team that was probably on his shortlist.
Yeah, and that's the part of it that I didn't really like or respect about the way that he played his way out of Houston, because he got what every franchise star really wants from a team. In the last 8 seasons, they paid him the most money they could possibly pay him. They designed an offense to suit his game perfectly. They brought in a coach that would work with his offensive game perfectly. Every single thing that organization did in Houston for the last 8 years was try to make James Harden happy and successful. And they came close. You know, they came close. We always talk about the 2018 conference finals there against the Warriors, where they were led 3-2 and then Chris Paul popped his hamstring. Now, that could have changed the whole trajectory of James Harden and Chris Paul's career if they go on to win that series and then the championship. It didn't happen. But the point being that, you know, we also heard there was a report on ESPN from Tim McMahon saying that basically over these last few years, when the Rockets were in Los Angeles or Phoenix or wherever, if James Harden wanted to stay an extra night, if they weren't on a back-to-back, then that's what the franchise did. So everyone danced to James Harden's tune there in Houston. And then he kind of turns around after last season and just says, hey, this is a mess. I don't want to be here. And then not only that, but you mentioned there, he turns up to training camp a week late, out of shape, looks like he's not interested on the court. I mean, that's just very unprofessional. And that's, I think, not a good look for a guy who the franchise gave everything to. Now, Houston have to accept some responsibility for giving a guy everything that he wanted, but in the end, Harden was the one, I think, who showed a pretty, you know, pretty dismal lack of respect to that franchise, who gave him everything. And remember, the franchise also offered him a 2-year extension for $100 million. So,
yeah,
you know, they were still prepared to try to push ahead here with James Harden, and he turned that down. So, you know, an ugly mess to a situation, but that's also not uncommon. Sometimes we've seen that in the past where franchise players have been at the team for a long time and the relationship ends, and it often ends in an ugly way. And another case of that down there in Houston.
Lee Ellis, The Athletic, No Dunks podcast on a Progressive guest line. Lee, always good talking to you. Thanks for coming on so last minute as this story was breaking yesterday.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime.
You got it. Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, more thoughts on the Harden trade. We'll also get a peek at the NFL playoffs because that's happening this weekend with 4 games in the divisional round. Pat Donovan is going to join us in about 17 minutes, and we'll talk to him about the Brady Arians relationship in Tampa, the Buccaneers going to New Orleans, third time they're facing the Saints, the excitement around Brady, what he has brought to that region. We'll talk about the Buccaneers and their playoff chances coming up.